I want to read to you this morning from three different places in the Word of God, but each reading has to do with the same person. We'll find out who he is whenever we read. First of all, Matthew chapter 14. The 14th chapter, the Gospel according to Matthew, verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now the same gospel, but chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. Right away at the end of the chapter, verse 71, or shall we rather read from verse 69? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. For our final reading, the last chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 21. Let us read from verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, since we have been reading from thy word, we approach thee now in prayer to ask that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt help us to understand the lesson from these scriptures. Grant that each of us today shall come to realize our responsibility toward thee. Grant, O God, that some poor, struggling soul today will come to know the Savior. We ask in his precious name. Of all the characters who are presented in the scriptures, there are two that always fascinate me. You know, the study of characters or personalities is always interesting. But the two that always seem to grip me, one of them's in the Old Testament, who is called Jacob. Well, I know he's been maligned and misunderstood and lots of things said against him, but the more I read about Jacob, the more I see of Jacob in myself. Or the more I see myself like Jacob. So therefore I like the way that God handled him. When I come to the New Testament, I find the same things about Peter. Oh, everybody knows that Peter denied the Lord, so that's the only thing that some don't know about. Nevertheless, as you read about Peter and the things that are said about Peter, you find that he was a man right down to earth. There didn't seem to be any camouflage about him. Just like yourself. Oh, I know he made mistakes. Who hasn't? I haven't met the man or the woman yet that hasn't made a mistake. Have you? I know that Peter was a bit rash at times, said things that perhaps he was better left unsaid. He did things perhaps that was far better left undone. But in spite of all that, he's presented to us in the Word of God as an individual with whom the Lord had to deal. I have chosen out from the many things that are said about him, I have chosen those three incidents today, hoping that they'll get right down to our hearts and make us face things in life as a matter of fact. I don't know how it has affected you this last week. But I've been trying to come to grips with some of the things that are in the news. Perhaps you haven't discussed it with anybody, but I'm sure you've been pondering it in your own soul and seeking to find the answer to the problem. What causing teenage suicide? Something wrong, isn't there? Or you can understand in some little measure an elderly person who perhaps has years of trouble behind them. The things of life have pressed down so hard upon them. They're facing problems for which they can find no answer. Perhaps you can understand in some little measure why that man or why that woman is the one that you try to. But why is it that a teenage with life before them in the normal line of things and everything in their favor, you would say, everything to live for, now, you must admit with me there's something wrong somewhere. What causes it? Perhaps we may find some idea here in the life of Peter. You see, the first little incident that I read to you from Matthew 14, I like to term this the night of trial. Yes, trials come upon young people just the same as they come upon elderly people. I know that it's a trial in life and certain things take place. But in this night of trial, I find Peter crying out for help. If only we could get to that stage where we could realize this, that we need help. And we cry for it. Peter's cry for help is narrowed down to three words. Lord, save me. You know, Peter, as a young man, was so self-sufficient. Strong. Hardy man. He knew what it meant to work long hours. Fishing. It's all right. You go fishing for pleasure. That's fishing. Peter didn't do that. Peter went out fishing as a business. If he didn't catch fish in his net, there was no income. He had to catch the fish and sell the fish. In order to catch the fish, they had to have the net in proper order. If you've never seen fishermen washing their net and mending their net, you've no idea the work that entails. The boat has to be kept in good condition. Yes, fishing like that can be hard work. Peter was a strong man. He knew something about long hours of hard work. But on this particular night, it was a night that was marked by frustration. Have you ever been frustrated? Have you ever set out in life, you accomplished something, and you seem to think you're failing all the time? So the Lord said to them, get into the ship, and I want you to go right over to the other side. Now they were obedient to the word of the Lord. They got into the ship all right. And they're going over towards the other side. Picture the men pulling at the oars when suddenly a storm broke on them. Again, let me say this. I've yet to meet the man or the woman who hasn't faced some kind of storm in life. Storms come. Difficulties arise. There may be difficulties in your business. Maybe difficulties in the home. Yes, it may even be difficulties with your health. But the storm breaks, things are not exactly what you wanted them to be. You see, go over to the other side. There's the lake, the Sea of Galilee. It may be calm. And they set out to cross the lake when suddenly things change. The waves are against them. And the winds are against them. Now, if the winds had come behind them, it would have just helped them over to the other side. You see, there's a possibility someone might have said, now, these men were in danger, and they were practiced sailors. They knew about the storm, and they had to get to land, or they might be destroyed. Why didn't they just turn the ship round and go with the wind and the waves? Make use of it to carry them back to shore. No, they were going at the bidding of the master. They were seen to go in the right direction, but everything was against them. They could make no progress in spite of all their that gives us some clue to why people give in. Perhaps they've made an effort and they find they're making no progress. It may be that all their objectives in life have been completely shattered. They feel that they're finished. Just as well to rest. The tragedy is still here. More than that, right at the darkest point of the day, look what? The darkness of the night is always just before the dawn. In the fourth watch, they suddenly see something on the way. I've never seen a ghost, and neither have you. You may have seen something that looked like it. You may have seen something that you thought was unusual. They saw somebody on the moon. And they immediately supposed it was an evil spirit. You see, in that part of the world, especially at that time, there was a great amount of evil influence. Around these shores, there was a great number of people who were possessed of evil spirits. In fact, I'm going to be very honest with you. Twice I've been there, and I seem to sense even yet, there's an awesome air about the place. That's the way I felt about it. There's a desolation about it. In these days, there was a great number of people demon possessed. The old devil himself seemed to have been gripped upon people and upon things around that area. And these people brought up in that kind of atmosphere, they immediately thought that this was some kind of evil spirit coming after them in the midst of all this storm. And the thing that that gave you to is shaken out. Jesus. Now it's right at that point, right in the midst of all the trouble, they hear the word of the Lord. He begins to speak to them and he says, now don't be afraid, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. You see, their faith is directed to the Lord. Oh, if only we could get people directed to the Lord. They'll run to everybody and anybody before they'll come to the Lord. They'll spend their well-earned money on some psychiatrist. We'll stretch them out on the couch and ask them a lot of silly questions. They'll try all sorts of counselors who rather need to be counseled. You a fellow who was helping a psychiatrist. He was a counselor in the school. And after his school work was finished, he was going along to the psychiatrist's office in order to give help to the patient. He was in need of help himself. He couldn't hold his own home together. Left his own wife and little child. Made a mess of his own life. Oh, my friend, listen. What you need is faith in Christ. You need to hear the word of the Lord himself. Be not afraid, he said. Be of good cheer. It's I. It's the Lord. Oh, if only we could get people who are passing through the time of trial to turn their attention to Christ and to the word of God. This is the answer to the problem. This is the answer to all the trials that are coming upon them. Perhaps the answer to your trials. But Peter seemed to be singled out now, right from all the rest. And our attention is really on him. Lord, he said, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water, if you can do it, help me to do it. I'll come to you, Lord.
What he had was one word.
Now, I don't care who you are, my friend. You don't need a Webster's dictionary to understand the meaning of that word. You don't need to be a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar. That you don't need to be a scholar of any kind. Even if you said to the child, the child knows what you're meaning. Even before it can leave. Or what? The Lord uses this word that can reach the heart and the mind. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Now, whether Peter thought that the Lord was going to do some marvelous thing in teaching a sermon, I don't know. The Lord doesn't even know that. Let me remind you, my friend, that the great principle for you and for me today is the same. It's not a matter of you sitting down in the midst of all your sons and all Lord, come to me, Lord. The Lord is saying to you, come! Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. It's not a matter of asking him to come into your heart or into your life. He's asking you to take the step of faith and come to him.
You must have been the good step over that chair.
No one had ever done that before.
I don't think no one has ever done it.
In fact, that was
including to a youth.
When the ship dropped people down,
fully powered ship, and that walked.
But Peter's trying to walk, and all of a sudden again he gets his eye of the Lord, and he looks at the storm, he looks at the waves, and feels the wind, and he begins to sink. Have you ever felt yourself sinking in life? Have you? Have you ever felt yourself going down in the midst of the storm? And that's the crisis. You see, Peter reaches one of the crises in his life. A thinking man. Now remember, he was a strong man. A man who thought he was self-sufficient. Yes, a man who could face anything in life. But he was thinking. Might I say the best of men can go down.
The best of women.
Oh, you would never have expected Peter to be found like that. Why didn't he swim? He must have been able to swim. I'm sure he could swim. He was a fisherman, sailor, living at the Sea of Galilee all his days. He must have learned to swim. Why didn't he try his own effort to swim in the storm? That's what most of you are trying to do. When you feel things are against you and you're pulling at the oars and going against the trials and the storms of life, and you feel yourself going down, you're going to swim for it and make the best of it, are you? That's not what Peter did. Peter realized he wasn't fit to cope with this situation. He turned his eyes to the Lord. Lord, save me! Lord, save me. I want to challenge each of you this morning. Was there ever a time in your life's history where you asked the Lord to save? Did you ever come to him for salvation? Or are you trying by your own effort to make yourself fit for God? Are you trying to make the shore on your own?
If so, remember you're going to say, you'll go down under the sea.
Lord, save me, cry for help. It was an acknowledgement of his need. You see, he acknowledged right there he was in need of salvation.
Have you ever come to that one?
You see, if you've never felt your need of a Savior, you've never trusted him. If you never feel your need of a Savior, you're not going to trust him. If you've never seen yourself as a sinner sinking down under the wave,
you're never going to come to the Savior.
Oh, the difficulty today is to get men and women to realize that they need to be saved. And when they need to be saved, when they'll acknowledge that, then you turn to the Lord. It was an acknowledgement not only of the Lord's ability, but it was an acknowledgement of the Lord's readiness to save them. Oh Lord, Lord, save me! Time of crisis, in the night of trial, coming to the Lord for salvation. Friends, have you? Can you remember the night you asked the Lord to save you? Can you remember the day when you bowed the knee, said you were willing to trust the Savior? Now, if not, yes, you're fine. The trials of life are too much for you, the same as they were for Peter. You're no better than Peter. In fact, Peter perhaps was a better man than anyone. But Peter got himself into that trouble that night, right into that crisis. He had faced the trials. He couldn't cope with it. But there was one who could. He came to the Lord. I tell you this, my friend. I don't care what you've been trying in the past. If you're not saved yet and you turn to the Lord now, you're saved. You don't need to wait till the end of the season. Suppose Peter had said, Lord, will you save me next year? Surely the man was drowning. Suppose he said, Lord, I'm willing to get saved next week. I have some things I want to do this week. Lord, will you save me next week? Lord, will you save me tonight? Lord, save me.
For a moment later. You don't even need to wait till the end of the meeting. Some folks think you only get saved at the end of the meeting.
Do you remember me telling you a long time ago, dealing with the subject of salvation, about the young fellow? He was called Philip. He was a Roman Catholic boy. But they came along one night to a gospel meeting. And they had a message preached on believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He trusted the Lord that night. He went out to his job the next day. He was working in the kitchen of a big hotel, assisting the chef. A lot of men, people working in that kitchen. The next day he thought he would say something to them. He wanted to tell them he trusted the Lord, he didn't know how to do it. But he said to them, when they were standing around, he said, listen fellas, I'd like to ask a question. Could any of you men tell me, what do you do to get saved? A religious question, see, it's very difficult to raise religious questions a lot of people. Well, there was some Roman Catholic there and one of them said, oh, he says, you just go to confession. Stretch your sins to the priest and pay your money and that's it. Boys. Another fellow said, no, he said, you go along the Salvation Army. And when they're having the revival meetings and you go to the penitent form. You're on the penitent form and the officer will pray with you, you get saved there, Salvation Army. Another one who was a Methodist said, no, I said, so you go to the Mourner's Bench. Perhaps the Methodists don't know anything about Mourner's Benches now, but they used to. The Mourner's Bench. Ah, says another one with a Presbyterian. No, you don't need to do any of these things. You just go and join the church. You get sprinkled and join the church and that's all that. They all had their own ideas, and he never said a word. At last, when they'd all given their ideas of how you got saved, they said, "Hey, Philip, you've never told us who you said. What do you think? How's a man get saved?" "I got saved last night. I'll tell you how I got saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt. That was the first sermon he preached. I think he's good, isn't he? Going all sides of the law. Last time I saw him at the conference, came up to me and said, "You know, said, you don't remember me?" I said, "No, tell me who you are." So I said, "I'm Philip. I got saved," he says, "up in Shore Road." "Oh," I said, "I remember that one." That's how you got saved. Well, we can't go. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, sir. Lord, save me! Easy. Ah, but look, let's come to another point in Peter's life. You see, there was more times than once when he reached the Christ. The night that the Lord was betrayed. The night that the Lord was in before the high priest in Sanhedrin. If in the first instance Peter was crying for help, in this incident here, he's weeping for help. And he was going to think of weeping. He's crazy. Oh man. What caused them to weep? Oh, it was a night of temptation. Where's the man? Where's the woman that hasn't been tempted? Where's the person today that hasn't faced temptation of some kind? It was a night of temptation for them, and it finished up with them weeping tears of we went under that night. Not the waves of the sea now, but under the wave of temptation. So what led them to this point? Well, first of all, I find them mingling with the wrong people. It's a difficult thing for you, know, dangerous thing, to keep wrong company. Remember a fellow saying to me many, many years ago, he says, "Here, were you out with, so-and-so the other night?" And I said, "The boy came." "Yeah." "Well, did your father know you were with him?" I said, "Yeah." "Well," he said, "if your dad knows that you've been out and talked to with him," he says, "you're in trouble." "Why, did he?" "He said, don't you know the kind of life he's living, the trouble he's in?" I said, "No, never know." "Well," he says, "you better steer clear of him or you'll be in trouble too." He said, "I'll give you a word of advice, Bill. When you're looking for company, always look for somebody better than yourself." If you're going to choose company, choose good company. If you get into bad company, oh, how many of these fellows in prison today, when you go to see them, they'll tell you the company they're in. I used to go and preach in a boys' prison. And a few hundred boys used to be in it. And you know, when you got talking to them, the strange thing, I can picture one boy now. He was crying. And I got down to talk to him. He said, "How did you manage to come here?" "I got into bad company." "I thought, yeah, so did the other boys. They were all in bad company. And what did you do?" "Well, they just broke it about three different stores, that was all." "But the other boys wanted to do it." And he got the bad company. He went in with them and got a share. Bad company. Well, there is such a thing as getting into the wrong company. Peter was mingling with the wrong people. Why? He was sitting with the enemies of the Lord. Standing in the way of sinners. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. He got into wrong company. Going along with those who were the enemies of the Lord on the very night that the Lord was betrayed. Doing the wrong thing. Seeking to warm himself by the provision that the world had made. Warm himself the world's mind. Are you trying to satisfy yourself, my friend, with the things that the world provides? Do you think you can get satisfaction by running around with simple company? If you're thinking that, you're making one big mistake. And you're going to pay an awful price. Then it reached the point where he was denying the Lord. Can you think of Peter denying the Lord? He's been journeying with him now for 2 years. He's seen the miracles. He's been out preaching for the Lord. He has stood the test. And he says, "Oh Lord, if they all forsake you, I'll not. I'll go with you. I'm willing to die with you."
And very soon, he speaks with a young girl.
She says, "You're one of them." He says, "I'm not."
The woman says, "I'm sure I've seen your face among them.
I don't know what you're saying." The other man says, "Yes, yeah. Oh, I'm your sweet creature. We know you're a Galilean."
"Oh no, I'm not stubborn. You know that. They knew he was a Galilean."
"All right," they said, "I'll prove it to you." He calls down a curse on himself and a nasty man. "I don't even know the man, I don't know what you're talking about."
Time the Lord is being life. Ah, the loop of those arms.
He just looked. Peter heard the sound of the loop. His memory went back to what the Lord had said to him. "Peter, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me." A memory that remembers the word of the Lord. His eyes,
set the eyes of Peter, broken in spirit. Oh, I'm lost with you.
What would you have done with Peter that night? Would you have turned your back and said, "I don't want anything more to do with you. After all you said, you denied your Lord."
No, I think Peter needed someone that night to put their arms around him. And go on. And go on.